There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind. Open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose: to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Huckaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Yeah, but it's like 3 weeks in a row. Ranger, it's been 3 weeks. That's almost a month. That's almost 1/12 of a year. Do we really? We could do anything. It's a Tuesday night. There's really good TV on. All right. We'll do the show. But if we're going to do the show, Ranger, we're going to have a little fun. Can we have fun? Oh, thank you. I like that. See, Ranger thinks we can do a show, but we can still have a little fun while we're doing it. You know, it's really kind of a sad thing, folks, that Jim doesn't want to come to the barn anymore, doesn't want to come to the ranch. I really don't even know if he ever just really wants to do the show again. I don't know. I think that there's a chance that it just could be me and Ranger, that there's just no room in Jim's life anymore for anything else but just traveling around the country and enjoying all the snacks and the breakfasts that people make for him, and that it's just poor little defenseless little BJ just all by myself in the barn with my dog and nobody to help me to do the show. I know it's just sad. It's just so sad. I've tried to locate Jim, and he's nowhere to be found. I've tried everything. I tried calling. See, he's just too busy to do the show. Let's try again and see if he's there. No, he's not there. I know he's reported to be somewhere in Georgia. I know. I'll use my ham radio and I'll see if I can maybe reach out to him. Now they're saying he's not there. Nobody has seen him. They're saying it's just me and Ranger. That's what they're saying in the Morse code. It's just me and Radar, me and Ranger, and you know it gets lonely, and we're just searching for the host of the radio show. Nowhere to be found after 3 weeks of time. And you just And you start to feel bewildered. And the lonely winds of loneliness howl through the alleyways of the barn. With no end in sight, me and my poor little chocolate Labrador retriever named Ranger, all alone, by ourselves, in the barn, with nobody to do the radio show. Ladies and gentlemen, it's just me and my dog and you. That's right, us, all alone in this big, mean world. Because the host of the show... Hold on, I'm just trying to remember the gentleman's name. He seemed to be so polite and nice. But it's been so long, I just not sure I remember.
Just eat your heart out. Go right ahead. Hey, everybody. I'm here. Been here through all of that.
I can't see you.
Yeah.
You're not here.
Yes, I'm here.
What do you think?
That was pretty good.
That was the best yet, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think we're going to get all kinds of reviews over the beginning of our show.
Well, you know what's funny is that I usually get a couple of texts that say, you know, thanks for being in the barn. Hi,
right, right.
We're listening. And I'll get some emails, you know, like last week's show, Graham and Grandpa and Morgan Hill, they said hi.
Right.
We're listening. And but I'm real curious to see what kind of text messages and emails after that opening.
Yeah.
You know, because people know that me and Ranger in the barn just, you know, having fun.
Right, sure.
And so, let's get down to business. We got to get down to business.
We possibly could have
what?
The most emails we've ever had on the show.
I don't know. You know, what's really sad, though, is what if someone has never heard show?
Yeah.
No one's ever heard the show.
Yeah, I mean, the lady crying.
Was it good?
Oh, it was great. But, I mean, that could almost get spooky if someone never, if they don't know you.
I was pretty handy with the sound effects,
yeah,
wasn't
that
I?
That was great, yeah.
That all in a barn,
you've
folks,
done
all
that
in a horse
before.
Barn. I've done it before. Yeah. No practice. I was just pushing buttons and, well, you saw me.
Yeah.
I was just using computers. All right, folks, today's date. It is the 23rd of September, 2014. And by now, it's probably about 9 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock.
Right.
Little extended opening. But for the third week in a row, we've had to pre-record the show. But obviously, folks, it is new. It's new. It's new information. It's not the best of. We pull out all the stops. And actually, sometimes I think, Jim, and I do. Don't you feel that when we have to pre-record a show that we just try to do a little more? I mean, you know what I mean? To make sure that it's that because the, I don't know, when you're not here, you know, you're not here.
Right.
And which I don't care. It's actually kind of fun when you're not. So,
sure.
But what I don't like is when we can't comment about emails and texts.
Right.
You know, I feel it's very frustrating when somebody sends a text because I like to see the text because I know their work.
Mm-hmm.
They're, you know, listening, but usually we say, hey, we just got a text,
right,
and this is what we said. Now, the emails, I watch like a hawk, and I at least let people know that I received the email, and,
sure,
you know, I thank them for listening and stuff. But speaking of words, we should talk about words. You know,
okay.
I don't know, maybe every show, but pretty close to it. We talk, I make inference to, if you listen to the show with any regularity at all, and by the by, if you do, Jim and I are very appreciative of that.
That's right.
And thank you. There's certain scripture that isn't more important than other scripture, but it has a lot more value. It has legs. There's more to it. There's more depth to it.
Sure.
There's more Think of it this way. It's a deeper glass, so there's more water to be drunk from it, so to speak.
Right.
And one of those is something that just gets blown over because it just sounds dramatic, and obviously nobody's going to do that that's in their quote-unquote right mind. And that is when you're going to look at somebody wrong, pluck your eye out. When you're going to say something wrong to someone or hurtful, cut your tongue out.
Right.
And if you're going to steal, cut your hand off.
Correct.
And what that refers to is another thing that we do on regularity is we talk about your feelings. See, your feelings, you feel something, your emotions, they give you thoughts. And then these thoughts give you ideas, and then you act on them. That's what they're talking about in that particular part of Scripture. If you think that you're going to look at somebody other than respectfully, lovingly, with a kind eye, well, the thoughts that you're having are wrong. So poke your eye out, because if you can't see, you won't have those negative feelings, those negative emotions to look at somebody poorly. It's the same with your tongue. If someone makes you mad, if you're going to be sarcastic or rude, or you're going to criticize somebody, or you're going to make somebody angry, or you're going to threaten them with violence, well, if you don't have a tongue, you don't speak. And if you can't speak, what's the likelihood that you would have those thoughts and feelings? You wouldn't. Because you'd say, well, I'm not going to let that bother me because I can't talk. I can't say anything about it.
Right.
And why would you have thoughts or feelings about stealing something that doesn't belong to you if you don't have any way to grab it or carry it? So if you cut your hand off, you'd say, wow, that's a nice piece of gold. That's a nice piece of fruit. A nice wristwatch. Hey, there's $10, and they don't know that it's on the floorboard of their car. Well, you would take it because you could just reach for it. Nobody has it. But if you don't have a hand, after a while, you don't think about reaching and grabbing for anything.
Sure.
Because you don't have a hand.
Right, right.
Now, apply this to words, everybody. And it's a truer statement has never been said, and I don't know who said it, but they really should be given a reward, and it's true. Talk is cheap.
Yeah.
Because that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about words, and we're going to talk about how many words that you use about Christ, about Scripture, about the book, about the guys, about where you worship, that really, there's no other way to put it. They're just ridiculously stupid, insincere, hypocritical, and they're wasted. You might as well have talked about carrots and light bulbs for all the good you were doing, because it's real easy to fabricate words that we believe ourselves. We talk ourselves into thinking we're smarter than we are. We convince and talk ourselves into thinking that we're more physically attractive than we are. We convince ourselves that we really have a complete rose-colored visions of grandeur on an epic scale, and words are the problematic issue of it.
Yeah, I was going to testify that years ago, when I was in prayer school and healing school for those 10 years, the Lord taught me, just kind of stumbled over it, how to talk in a way that would allow God to do something. Because I talked in a way that built an expectancy into the people about how real God was, how much God was present, how much God was wanting to do wonderful things, how that their bodies were really healed and His presence was there so they could experience it. And the more that I would talk like that, it built an expectancy in the people and allowed, basically what I was doing is helping people to get out of the way so God could be real. And I share that because everything about the Scriptures is supposed to actually bring you to that point. And I was going to give you a scripture here where Jesus says the same thing in John 8:28. So when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. Everything about what Jesus did, what he did, is because of what he saw the Father do. What he said is because of what he heard the Father say, and it always produced results.
You know, we're talking about our words, and let's bring in prayer, because so many times we talk about how if you pray and nothing happens, it's not a prayer. Because it says, ask and you shall receive, and all things are granted. Well, then, apparently, they didn't hear it because there was literally nothing to hear.
Right.
Because it's, and there, find that piece of scripture that talks about, you know what I'm talking, yeah. The one I'm talking about,
sure.
Fancy words and long, you know,
right.
Really long,
right.
Dramatic things. There, we've tried to get you to be more demanding of grace, to be more matter of fact, to be more absolute. We try to convey the message that asking for something is a lot different than saying thank you in advance. Thank you for it. I'm glad that it's going to happen this way. I'm so grateful that you can do this. And I'm excited to see this transformation occur. Well, all those things have commitment. They have conviction. They have a targeted purpose. Because otherwise, do you think you could get that? Do you think you could come over? Is it possible for you to help? Are you available for just a little bit? Just a little bit. Well, what do all those little phrases I just said had in common? They have doubt. They don't have any commitment, no conviction. They literally open the door for nothing to occur. And we're real good about doing that.
Huh.
Hello. I don't mean to be a bother, but do you think it would be possible for you to help me out with something? Okay. Look at that statement. You've literally made it twice as easy for them to say no, or they don't want to, or they can't, than you do to say yes.
Mm-hmm.
But if you call them up and you say, man, I'm glad we're good friends because you need to come over because I need your help. Well, see the difference in the confidence,
right.
The commitment, and the expectation of success.
Well, so then not only do we do that in the way that we ask for help, but then notice how people respond when they're going to say something. Just like the other day, I met this guy, and it was interesting because he knew the pastor where I was at there in Lubbock, Bracken Christian,
right.
Who was on our last show.
Yeah.
And this guy, as we began to talk and began to share, and he made the comment to me as I was leaving, he said, you know, I'm going to try to make it on Wednesday. I can't make it tonight, but I'm going to try to make it on Wednesday. Now notice there's absolutely no commitment because he used
no
the word
conviction.
Try.
Yep.
And guess what? He wasn't there Wednesday because he put that word try in. When he said that, immediately I'm like, you're not going to be there.
You know, and we misuse words all the time. And there's a very serious point that's going to be, I guess, not exposed, but opened up in about 20, 30 minutes into the broadcast about this. But I'll give you another one. Let's say that someone comes to the library every Wednesday night.
Okay.
They buy a soda pop out of the pop machines at the library. They never miss. If you're there, they're there. And they contribute once in a while. They ask a question or make a comment, and they laugh at, you know, one of your dumb little jokes that's really not funny. And I just want people to be clear of, you know.
Sure, sure.
And
okay.
So,
keep it up, funny man.
You're not here.
Oh, that's right.
You're not here.
I'm in Georgia.
You have to remember, Jim, that it's Tuesday night. And I'm all alone. Just me and my little brown dog in the barn by ourselves. So anyways, hey, if you're going to get mad at all this stuff, blame Dave and Barb in Minnesota. They're the ones that we got the new board that allows me such quick response with everything.
That's good.
More channels, more switches, more buttons. They'll talk like this, and they'll say things, and then they'll say, "Hey, Jim, do you know so and so?" And you'll say, "Yeah, I know him. I know who he is. He comes every Wednesday night." And then that person will say, "Hey, do you know Jim Huckaday?" And that guy will say, "Oh yeah, I know him. I see him every Wednesday." Okay, neither one of you know each other. Once a week in a library, one of you talks, the other one listens about one subject and one subject only. You guys don't know either one of us. Either one of you don't know each other.
Right.
We say this all the time. You know them. You know who they are. No, I've met them.
So you're saying there's no accuracy.
There's no accuracy in the terminology. There's no accuracy in the words used. I'll give another example that everyone uses. Just a minute.
Oh, and it's an hour later.
I'll be right there.
And you never show up.
I told you I would be right there. It's only been a half hour. If you're going to be a jerk about it, you know, okay, fine. I won't be there in a minute. I'll be there in 10 minutes. Are you happy now? Yeah, because 10 minutes is different than I'll be there in just a minute.
Right.
We have no accuracy. We have no absoluteness in the way we communicate with each other.
Yeah, that's good.
We have no absoluteness. We have no accuracy in the ways that we talk or the meaning behind the words.
Sure.
I told you I would be right there. Well, you weren't right here. It's been an hour. Well, I had to finish what I was doing, but soon as I was done, I came right here. I told you I would be right here, that it would be the next thing. Soon as I got done with this, I told you I would be right here. Well, you didn't tell me that you weren't done working. You didn't tell me that it was going to be a while before you'd finish and that you were so far away that it would get here. That's not what you said. You said you would be right here.
So it's leaving people with a false perception.
And like I've said, there's nothing good of the flesh of the world. Text messaging and emails are going to be the death of us.
Yeah. You want those scriptures?
Yes.
Okay. Matthew 6, starting verse 1, Message Bible is really good. It says, "Be especially careful when you are trying to be good so that you don't make a performance out of it. It might be good theater, but the God who made you won't be applauding. When you do something for someone else, don't call attention to yourself. You've seen them in action, I'm sure. Play actors, I call them, treating prayer meeting and street corner alike as a stage, acting compassionate as long as someone is watching, playing to the crowds. They get applause, true, but that's all they get. When you help someone out, don't think about how it looks. Just do it quietly and obtrusively. That is the way our God, who conceived you in love, working behind the scenes, helps you out. And when you come before God, don't turn into a theatrical production either. All these people making a regular show out of their prayers, hoping for stardom. Do you think God sits in a box seat? Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense His grace."
See, this happens all the time.
Wow, that's good, isn't it?
Prayer groups. Facebook, please, everybody on Facebook, all my friends, pray for me.
Yeah.
Bible studies, prayer cloths, holding hands and having a whole room of people where everybody hold hands and they all pray together. It sounds nice. It seems harmless. It almost seems like the right thing to do. But what is the meaning behind it? What is the fuel that is causing this fire? What are the intentions of it? What's the purpose behind it? It doesn't going to do you any good to pray for a better doctor. Please, God, please bless me with a really good surgeon. Seriously? You don't want grace to heal you. You don't want grace to help you. You want grace to find a really good surgeon? Fortunately for you, I'm very loving and forgiving because I forgive all your sins. Lucky for you, I'm not like BJ, because BJ would just go, hope you die. Goodbye. Thanks for the disrespect. It's in our words.
Yes. Lack of meaning.
We had it before we recorded last week's show. You were talking with Bracken, Bracken Christian. And he commented on the way I phrase things. And you explained to him that it doesn't matter what words you use. It's about what you feel and what's in your heart. And it can't just be about the words. And then once you explained it and showed him scripture, he agreed. And it's how many times in your life has someone said, that's a really good idea. I like that outfit. Thank you. That tasted really good. We'll have to do this again. I'll call you back. I'll get back to you. It's perfect. It's just perfect. We should really do that. And you know, as the words are entering your ear, that there's no sincerity to it. You know it'll never happen. And it actually just kind of leaves you with an aching in the pit of your stomach. And the air is out of your cells. And you just go, oh, they don't mean that. They really didn't like it.
Yeah.
They're just being polite.
Yeah, you can tell, can't you?
Yep. And you just say, oh. And it's frustrating. It doesn't make any sense to pray if you're not committed.
Right.
It's a waste of time to try to play if you have no conviction. If you're not seeing grace, you're not experiencing grace, you're not feeling grace, if you're not even sure there is grace, if you're wondering if there is a God, what would be the point of a prayer? What purpose would that serve? That's like getting an envelope, buying a stamp, and writing a letter, sealing the envelope, and you sit there with pen in hand and the envelope on a table in front of you, and it's a letter to your father, and you don't know who your father is or where he lives. What's the point? What was the point of what you did? Because until you have a complete picture and all the information, what's the point of a letter, the stamp, the envelope, and addressing it? Where's it going to go?
You know, I look over here in Mark 11 and 23 and 4. Real good scripture. In fact, everybody listening probably knows this by heart. But almost everybody. If you'll put what I'm going to read together with what you've been hearing, maybe we can figure out one of the reasons why it doesn't seem to work. Jesus says here, have faith in God. And then he says, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And the biggest part of that that goes along with what we're saying tonight is the part that says, but believes that those things he says will be done. That's really where the wheels come off. That's what we're saying tonight.
Yeah.
That's where we lose the importance of believing in our own words.
Remember when the place I met you, the building I met you in? People would come up to you and they'd say, I don't understand what just happened because I asked BJ to pray with me, and you're not going to believe what he said.
Right.
But it worked.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand why it worked. Because, well, I don't think it would be as effective if I said it, but you know some of the prayers I used to say there. Tell people some of the prayers that I would say. Like if someone said, my shoulder hurts, would you pray for me? Remember that guy?
Yeah. Well, the guy that couldn't write.
The guy. Yeah, there was an older man. His arm didn't work.
Right.
And he couldn't write. He couldn't even write hello. It was just unreadable.
And so you said you included candy bars and potato chips in a prayer that basically said.
What I said was
Snickerdoodle.
I said Snicker bar. I said Snickers, barbecued potato chips, chocolate milk. Amen. You're cured.
Yeah.
And him and his wife, literally, I could have parked a tractor in their mouth. Their jaws hit the ground.
Right.
And she was kind of upset. And he, you could see, was noticeably disappointed. They had the looks on their face like what I said was
disrespectful,
insulting,
right,
childlike, immature, and pointless.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I said, what's the problem? I says, why aren't you moving your hand, your shoulder? And he said, and she goes, well, that wasn't a prayer. And I says, it was a prayer. I says, you wanted me to think about grace and how your shoulder hurts. You want to be able to write.
Right.
And I says, what's it matter what I say? And I says, it has to be something more than how you say it.
So then if they had problems with it, it's because they're used to how eloquent something is spoken, right?
Yep. And he could move his arm. He touched his head. And he went home and he was writing, and they came back the next week and they said, it's like I have perfect penmanship. I can write.
Right.
And he says, I can't believe that worked. And he says, how did you do that? And he says, you're missing the point. I didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Your relationship with Christ, it can't be based on vocabulary. That makes no sense.
Right, right.
Remember before we started the show, I said, let's talk about words and language and things.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, let's, because of, you just got back from Lubbock, Texas. And that's what I used. I said, okay, you live in Lubbock, Texas. You have a child that you have a grown-up child. They get married and they move to England. And your grandchild is born in England. So it uses it has an English accent.
Right.
It uses England terminology and phrases.
Right.
And everything. You don't even know that the child's blood is from Texas. So if you base things on words alone and what words mean on their face value as you say them and hear them, then that would mean that your grandchild in England who speaks English with an English accent and English terminology will never go to heaven and not meet God. Because the way they use words, phrase words, are completely different than somebody talking in Lubbock, Texas.
Right.
That would apply to Spanish. That would apply to,
sure,
to Chinese. Well, look at Jian in China.
Right.
She writes broken English.
Yeah.
Who knows how much her and her little friends that listen to the show can speak. Look at Sarah in South Korea who has to speak Korean. And the most best example we have is Fred in the Black Forest of Germany.
Right.
Now, I know enough German to know that there are a lot of switches and changes between American spoken English and the German language. So that would mean that one of us would be wrong and we're going to hell. but look at the experiences that Fred has experienced listening to English and then changing it into German.
Right.
And his little church and congregation are benefiting from it.
Yeah.
That means that language and the words we use are nothing. They have no value, no tangibility. Why? Because if you're going to look at somebody bad, poke your eye out. If you're going to say something bad, cut your tongue out. If you're going to hurt somebody or steal something, cut your hand off. It's not about the reaction. It's about the initial action.
Yes.
What do you feel about Christ? What do you think about grace? Those will give you feelings and thoughts that will give you ideas. And your reaction will be the actions of grace.
I'm going to read something.
Did you like that?
I did.
I just made that up.
Let's put what you just said.
Well, not about talking about Lubbock, Texas and Bracken Christian.
Right.
Okay, go ahead.
Let's put what you just said into this context here, because this is a verse used very highly by people that are endeavoring to say words to help them begin to experience something from God.
Okay.
And this verse is scripture is over in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23 that says, "Let us hold fast to the profession of our faith." Now I'm going to put in another translation. That was the King James. The New King James says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who is who promised is faithful." And I could probably put it into another one, maybe get more amplified, says, "So let us seize and hold fast and retain without wavering the hope we cherish and confess and our acknowledgement of it. For he who promised is reliable, faithful, and sure to his word." That's actually better than the other two, because it seems to indicate that there's feelings and emotions about what you're getting ready to release out of your mouth versus just saying something. Because in the original language, it means hold fast to saying the same thing. Now, there's a really inherent problem in that.
Yes.
If you don't have the same feelings, emotions, and understanding, correct?
Yes. And really, I think something that really kind of brings it home is the woman who crawled on her hands and knees.
Okay.
Never even looked into the eyes of Jesus.
Right.
Never made eye contact. And all she did was touch him.
Correct.
Didn't even touch him. Touched his clothes.
Right.
Touched the Wranglers that he was wearing. The heel of his boot. And what was his response?
Power went out of him and he knew it.
There was grace.
To say, who touched me?
There was grace. There was one of the four of us. There was my father's love. Grace just went zipping right by. In and out.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to see the glory. I felt the glory of it. No words were spoken. They didn't even have eye contact.
Right.
So folks, I want you to think about this one instance of examples out of Scripture and think about your thoughts and feelings and not letting them be bound or controlled by the language of where you live or words that you think are acceptable or unacceptable because someone told you when you were a child, well, that's not a word we use, honey. That's a bad word. Well, why is it a bad word? Well, it just is a bad word. Well, we talked about this, how when I was a child, there was nothing wrong with saying the word queer or gay. They meant nothing but something's odd and somebody's happy.
Right. I remember that.
My lifetime, all of our lifetimes.
Right.
That applies to all kinds of words. Every generation creates words that only have a meaning to them. If the guys have no limits and no boundaries,
good.
Then why, in the name of all that matters, would words and their meanings have any point at all? Matter of fact, I'm going to give something else to think about. When I hear somebody say, "I don't care for that language. I don't like those words. We don't use that language here. Well, because it's not right. That's just not the way a good Christian would talk or a good person would talk. What they're literally telling me is this. They're so concerned about words. And they're so concerned about worldly, fleshly appearance that they really don't have time for grace. They don't have time for what the message of Scripture is really talking about, because they're so busy worshiping language and words and making sure what is acceptable and what isn't, that they can't really get past the message. Because if you can't get past Scripture, because Scripture is talking about what you can have, the possibilities, what can be, what can occur, what can go wrong. If you can't get past the book, you will never have a relationship with the guys.
Yeah, we said last week, in fact, something that could have been startling to everybody. And I think you said it, BJ, and then I made some comments about it. But it was the comment that you can let Jesus, if you're leaning on Jesus and leaning on Scripture, then you're not taking responsibility yourself. And so, in other words, seeing things like that, you can let, and this is a hard statement if you don't listen to the rest of what it's supposed to say, you can let Jesus and Scripture actually get in the way. Now, that's harshly said that way, but see what it means. Look at how many people say, well, you know, I'm worshiping Jesus. You know, I'm giving him praise and I'm calling on his name and nothing's happening. See, the responsibility is in how it makes you feel, how you have testimony to what it means to use the name of Jesus, not just throwing it out there. Or how many people can quote every scripture. In fact, when you ask for a scripture reference, it's very interesting. The ones that usually end up giving you the scripture reference immediately are the ones that don't seem to have the results in their life that others do, that just don't have to even, you know, try to raise their hand the first. In other words, what's the possibility, and this is where our show's going tonight, that we're putting such great emphasis on things that shouldn't have that emphasis, when the real truth is, where's the connection in your heart with grace and with Christ?
You know, it goes back to what's said on the show, that the closer you are to the guys, the less you pray. The more in contact you are with the grace that you're born with, the less scripture and the less worship you really do. Well, why wouldn't it be that way?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the closer you are to God, why would you need scripture? You're with the guys.
Right.
You know, I haven't said it in a while, but it's certainly appropriate now. Okay, you have a Betty Crocker cookbook. You have a choice. You can memorize and just have every single teaspoon, tablespoon, quarter cup of sugar, a cup of brown sugar, three bouillon cubes, a pinch of salt, this cinnamon, that pepper. You can have the entire Betty Crocker cookbook at your disposal. Know every page, every recipe, everything about it. Or you can realize that there are a lot of wonderful recipes in that book, and that Betty Crocker, who wrote it, must be a really good person and really fun to cook with, and seek her company. Seek her friendship, love, and companionship, and cook with her.
Yeah.
And disregard the book, because the book got you to the woman. Try applying that to Scripture. Yes, enjoy Scripture, respect it, benefit from it, but use it in the intention that it was written, as a guide, a recipe, a roadmap, an example of what you can have and what you can achieve.
So I have a scripture here to back that up. In James 1 and 22, it talks all about Betty Crocker cooks. See, you missed your cue. You were going to say you have a Betty Crocker cookbook
scripture? No, because I knew you would say something.
You did not. Let's go here to verse 22.
Well, you did.
It says,
are you calling me a liar?
No, I'm not calling you a
liar.
See,
this is why I like to be in the barn by myself.
Oh, you're by yourself, aren't you?
It's a Tuesday night. It's just me and Ranger.
It almost makes you feel kind of like a submarine.
It does. It makes me feel like I'm all alone in the ocean, seeking out anyone who would just say, hello, BJ. Hello, Ranger.
It's so quiet, you could almost hear crickets in the background.
I don't have crickets.
Oh, come on. I thought you'd pull that up.
I don't have crickets.
Well, you need to get crickets.
I have helicopters.
No, that doesn't do.
I have a lot of clocks.
Clocks won't do either.
Rocket going off?
No, crickets.
Machine guns?
No.
Little fighting going on here in this in the barn, folks. It's me or Jim. We got a little battle going on. That was good, wasn't it? Oh, now the listeners are up in arms. They're angry.
I mean, you could just narrate your whole little plot, can't you? It's kind of like radio time with BJ.
Hey, speaking
family,
of radio time with
around.
BJ... We are into this show, 45 minutes, and guess what I haven't done?
Oh, text.
Text and emails.
And emails, go ahead.
Okay, folks, you know, there's a reason why I haven't gotten emails or texts tonight, because I haven't said anything about it. Well, you know, that's Jim's fault, and we can say it's Jim's fault because he's not here to listen anyways. The way you send an email to the show, it's the name of Jim's radio show, The Abiding Presence. No capital letters, no spaces. The Abiding Presence at G, you know, Gmail, the letter G as in Grandma's Gravy, gmail.com. If you'd like to send me a text tonight, send your text. The first word you have to type, your text message will never get to the barn unless the first word you type is the letter Grace. I don't know why people can't figure that out, but some people don't. The first word, if you just want to say hello, I'm listening, hi to you and Ranger in the barn, whatever, the first word has to be Grace.
Okay.
Then your message, and then you send it to 69302. On the radio show's website, theabidingpresence.com, the contact page is this information. And also, once again, the library, no library.
Yeah, that's right.
Tomorrow night is Wednesday, the 24th of September, and there will not be no Hardesty Library again.
Okay. Wait a minute.
Are you going to be back
for
that?
No, I'll be back for that. I come back Wednesday morning.
So you are going to? Oh, well, then yes. We better collect that.
So let me just say this. We will have the library. Hey, good. Thank you. I appreciate the applause on that. We will have the library on the 24th. Starting at 7 o'clock, the Hardesty Library, where we'll be doing our Bible study. And let me just say this to some of you that were concerned and have been concerned about the live streaming. We have word from those that are helping us with this that we will have a great live streaming. And the live streaming will be really good. And there should not be any problem with the broadcast. You will be
or
able
the,
to
or
see
or the
it.
Plumbing. They have restrooms.
Or the plumbing. They do have restrooms. I just don't know where in the world that one came from.
You know what?
I didn't get that.
If there was ever a time that we were televised.
You would have liked that. I know.
The look. You should have seen the look on his face when he heard a toilet flushing in his headphones.
Someday, folks, maybe this will be a live show that we can do where not only audio but video you'll have. And then you can see what really goes on in the barn where you know that all the things that happened that I'm accused of, you can just point them at this poor little cowboy that's all alone in his submarine on a windy night with machine gun.
You know, folks,
when the sirens are going off.
It's your show, and I would never say anything insulting to you, but, you know, sometimes the things you say, Jim, are just...
Oh, Lord. Well, You know, folks, here's the real truth about it. I better get myself home back to the barn where it's a live broadcast so that I can help to corral some of this.
You know what's happening right now? I promise you.
No, I don't know really what's happening
right now. I'll bet you a shiny new dime.
Yes.
Well, I've been next to God for 40 years, and I've never heard anything as ridiculous as this. I don't know who these two nitwits are, but they don't have anything to do with Jesus. I could tell you that. I've never heard anything more insulting and more ridiculous in my life than the last 45 minutes. I've just wasted 45 minutes of my life.
Well, then I'm going to respond and say, sir, listen to this scripture that seems to pin the tail on the donkey, okay? So James chapter 1, verse 22, it says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, folks, that's exactly what we've been talking about. If anyone talks the word a lot, speaks the scriptures a lot, but there's no intention in their heart. Now, intention is what? It's a longer word for intent. There's no intent in their heart to be what? To be a doer, to do something with it, to respond to it, to allow feelings and emotions to have them step beyond where they are, to take scripture and experience God. It says you're deceiving yourselves.
You know, speaking of the meaning behind the words, remember the example that the cowgirls gave today. We did firewood most of the afternoon. You were splitting firewood.
Yeah.
Hey, you did good, by the way. You covered some ground.
Yeah, I got some.
That was a big pile of wood. There's like five ricks. That's a cord. That's 2.5 cords of wood.
Yeah, I wouldn't have been able to know how many are in there because every time we've ever done wood before, you separated the piles.
Well, that's because we were doing a rick at a time. Half a quarter at a time.
And probably because we had some different kinds of wood you wanted separated, right?
Yeah, some of it I was separating the oak from the pecan.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Because there's people that like to buy the pecan for their barbecues and smokers.
Yeah. Hey, folks, it's supposed to be a really cold winter this year.
Yeah, we're
going
to talk about
that. With a lot of precipitation. Yep. So we're getting ready over here with some nice firewood. I actually got myself a rick. I'm pretty excited about it.
Well, you got to get your fireplace working.
Well, that is going to happen.
I mean, you get your fireplace working, you come over to the ranch, we'll throw a truck full of wood in and we'll haul it into town.
Yep.
And we'll stack it neatly against your house, get some bug spray and do it right.
Yeah.
The meaning, remember, here was a scene. All the chores were done.
Yeah.
We were all done, all the machinery put away, barn doors closed. We were standing out in front of the barn. And the cowgirls came over, and we were just talking, and I was kind of catching up with what they'd done because I hadn't been around them like I usually am. And we were joking, and they were joking. But I didn't really change the tone of my voice, but they could tell when all of a sudden we weren't joking and just talking. I was talking as a boss. Remember, they got quiet. And they, you know, they said, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, we did, no, sir, this. And because they knew of my confidence and the fact that I am the boss, I didn't have to say, okay, I'm the boss now. And then when we got in here, I said, you know, one of the problems with people in management or people in command is they don't command. They want to be a friend. They get too close.
Right.
That they don't. They don't realize that there's a limit, there's a boundary that you don't cross, and that you have to keep that ability to fire somebody or to say jump, and they'll say how high.
Right.
And so, and I don't have to, and it's kind of funny because when that guy came today with that big truck and trailer, well, he was here earlier in the week, you know, and the first thing he said is he says, well, you're the boss. And I says, how do you know that? And he says, well, just the way you talk and the way people talk to you and the way they, you know, look at you. He says, you can tell you're in charge. Okay, well, you need to apply that to yourself and your relationship with Christ.
Right.
What about your manner? What about your demeanor? It has nothing to do with your words. It's about the feelings, the energy behind those words.
Right. And I was going to draw the comparison here, or the parallel.
Did that make sense?
It did. And I'm going to draw a parallel about being a parent. Because speaking to your children, you know, you can just tell by the way you say something, when you have something very important to say, there's a tone that comes with the words that you speak that's different, and actually it's very quickly picked up in the ear of a child. Now, if I was an actor and I had to play the part to role play, I could actually role play, especially if I was a good actor, and the tones would sound exactly like they sound when an individual really has feelings and emotions that need to be communicated to a child that says, this is very important, we're not playing anymore, you need to listen to what I say, and you need to be ready to move or act or respond to what I'm saying. An actor could actually repeat something or say right. something with those tones, but here's the difference. That's not a real situation. You're just acting. It's just words. So with God, we're not trying to put on tones and words. See, I remember so many times, BJ, somebody would get it in healing school,
right?
And they would respond, and bam, the power of God was there, grace was there, instantly healed, and then somebody else would say, when they saw what they did, is that how I need to respond? Well, see, the fact that they're asking, how do I respond, says there's no feelings and emotions, because if you had them, you would respond.
One reason why children, teenagers and younger, why senior citizens, older people, people that are in nursing homes and hospitals, prisoners, people in jails and prisons, people floating out in the middle of the ocean in a life raft or lost on a desert island, or people that live in dirt floor shacks with no electricity, running water, or natives living in a village in the Congo. The reason people like this grasp the word of God so fast and have wondrous results is because their day-to-day lives are vacant of what everybody listening to the show is almost full of.
Mm-hmm.
When you're in a hospital bed, after a while, you don't care. I mean, if you're in a hospital bed for about a week or two, you have care and concern about your TV shows and your bills and jobs and things spoiling in the refrigerator. If you're only in a hospital for a couple of weeks, you have cares and concerns. But when you're still in a hospital bed and you've missed a season.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
right.
when I went into the hospital, it was fall. And when I finally got back to the ranch, it was like the middle of summer. That meant that I missed most of fall. I missed all of winter.
Right.
I missed spring.
Yeah.
And I missed a fraction of summer. Seven
right.
months.
Right.
Well, I'm here to tell you, and I've talked to other people, and they agree, that after about a month of being in a hospital, you really don't think about things the way you used to.
Right.
Because you know that it's been a month. And what's really sad, and this is also true, the longer that you are away from the reality that you had, your school, your job, your house, your friends, your family, the less they come to visit you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not because they love you less. It's not because they feel sad for you. It's because of the things that you don't think about are completely overwhelming them. In other words, life goes on. Somebody asked me, they says, what was it like to be paralyzed for 2.5 years living in a wheelchair? And I said, the world is like a train. When I lost the use of my legs, the train took off and it left the station. And after a while, I forgot there even was a train. And now that I can walk again, I realize that the train went so far, so fast that I can't regain that. And the world just moved on without me.
Yeah.
That life doesn't stop, it just goes on. Now, take that in a scripture, biblical type of philosophy or
sure.
perspective. That's the word, perspective.
Okay. Okay.
Point of view. Okay? If the young, the affirmed, the locked up, people upside down in a car burning in the middle of the intersection, they ask for grace, they get grace. Well, it's because they are literally completely turned and detached from anything to do with the flesh and the world. Their reality is the reality of the moment.
Hmm.
As much as my whole reality, other than Ranger and the horses, was that hospital room, somebody drowning, somebody in a upside down car in an intersection, that's their reality at the moment. That's their world.
Hmm.
Now, people need to take that ability to turn, to repent, change directions, and realize that they have to discard the reality of the world and flesh for the reality of their spirit. Now, apply this to the topic tonight, words.
Yeah, good.
How you're waiting, right? Hmm? How can you have an effective prayer? How can your words be communicative with grace when your feelings are of the flesh and world, but yet your words are of the spirit?
Yeah.
That's the disconnect.
Yeah.
But the success of a prayer about a candy bar, a bag of potato chips, and a quart of chocolate milk is that the feelings and emotions were of grace of the spirit. So the words were of no consequence. It's you've got to look at this from a 180-degree change. It's not about what you say. It's why are you saying it?
Okay, so I'll finish.
It's not about the answer. It's the question.
I'll finish this scripture here.
I thought you were done.
So, no, that supports what you said.
Oh.
It goes on to say, after we started with, but be a doer of the word, James 1:22, and not a hearer only, deceiving yourselves. It goes on to say, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer. And remember, we're describing that in the last, let's just say BJ talked for 6 or 7 minutes that he talked. What he said is the description. Not just the words that are spoken, but the feelings, the emotions, the intent. What's behind those words, and is behind those words, is it filled with action, with response, with responsibility and accountability? Okay. It says, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he is. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So we really, really see here James is addressing this point. And as James goes on in chapter 2, and really a focus that seems to follow the book of James is, don't just say to somebody, be blessed, when they don't have a coat and they're shivering and you actually have a coat on that you can give them and you got all kinds of coats in your closet. In other words, what does faith have to do by itself if it's not accompanied with works? James said, it's dead. It's unprofitable. It does no one any good. And so it is that if we get so wrapped up in, and I'm going to use this phrase here, and I think everyone should know what I'm talking about, Christianese. In other words, the language that Christians use. Just think about how some people even greet you. And I'm always just, I mean, it just bothers me to no end if you ask somebody how they're doing. Instead of just responding, it's a wonderful day, great things are happening, man, I'm doing fine, how are you? They'll get into their Christian mode. Oh, praise the Lord, hallelujah, I'm so blessed today and highly favored. And you want to just say, there's nothing about what you just said that registers at all in you or in me.
You that bugs you?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Are you timing how long I talk?
I knew you'd think of that. I knew you'd say something about that. No, I estimated.
You know what's really fun? I just, well, you were off.
I was what?
You were off.
I was off what?
How long I talked. I think this is neat because I just checked.
Was it more?
No, less. You know how I am with time. I don't even have a watch. I've never owned a watch. I've never understood why people need watches to tell time anyways. That's always, I always thought that's kind of weird.
Well, not everybody's outside.
That's true. Okay. I checked the emails for the show.
And?
Okay, folks. Now, let me make sure. If you're just logged in, this show has been pre-recorded. And if you've sent emails, I'm reading them and I'm writing you back. But this was an email sent on September 17th because right now it's Thursday the 18th that we're pre-recording the show. Someone named Karen sent an email, and she likes the show. She's been downloading some of your stuff on YouTube.
Oh, good.
And she lives in Wisconsin.
Oh, good.
And so I just thought, hey, I have an email to read.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, so and so since Karen's listening, we got to listen to her email.
Hey, I need you to respond to something, okay?
Okay.
You ready?
You mean in an email or like on the air?
Nope, right now.
Okay.
I'm going to finish what I started here and listen to the last. I wasn't going to read these two, and yet while you were doing that, but that's how it always works.
That's
great. While you're saying something, I'm staring at the very thing that needs to be read. So listen to this.
Well, that's not my fault.
No, it's not at all. If anyone among you, look at the words he uses. And I'm going to read this in the message too, but I'll read it. Start out in the New King James. It's James 1:26-7. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Boy, all the words we use as far as what James is saying is like 180 degrees away from the progress of what God would actually consider to be real religion. And notice how he says it: if we don't bridle our tongue. I believe what that's speaking to, if your tongue is speaking things that are not connected to your heart.
Right.
He says it's useless.
Why don't you try James 1:19?
1:19? You're really smart aleck, you know that?
What do you mean? What do you mean I'm a smart aleck?
I'm just messing. Okay, James 1:19 says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." Swift to hear and slow to speak. Now, before we actually comment on that, I want to read a scripture that goes along with that. It said, swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. You remember those words, the phrases?
Yep.
All right, listen to this. This is Proverbs 16:23. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. So what are we swift to hear? Right down there inside,
our
making
spirit,
the connection.
Grace.
The spirit.
What we talk about, our feelings,
right,
our emotions, our thoughts. And see, this is validated what Jim is saying by the scripture that says if you think you're going to look at somebody,
right,
if you're going to say something wrong, if you think you're going to steal. They didn't talk about the overt act. They said what was in your mind and heart. If you had, quote unquote, those types of sinful feelings and conjurings, eliminate the outside body to prevent those inner feelings.
Right.
Because if you're trying to connect about God, it's not about the outside flesh and world.
Right.
It's about what is inside of
you. So you have to detach yourself from your flesh in order to be attached to God.
There's nothing good about the world
the
flesh.
So the next verse, verse 24, look at what it says. When your tongue is connected to your heart and to grace, it says pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. See, now, so here's, got to hear this because you don't probably know this, but these are things that people have actually talked about and focused on for years. Here's the problem. They've just been words as containers without anything in them. I mean, what's the sense of having, you know, some Tupperware if you don't have anything in it? Hey, I'm going to heat this up. There's nothing in there.
All smoke, no fire.
All smoke and mirrors, right?
Yep.
And that's what James says. If this is how your life is, you'll see yourself in the mirror in 1 second on one hand, and on the other hand, you forget even who you are.
Remember when I brought up self-respect?
Yes, but you said it in a different way. I want to read this. You said
This is tonight. Self-love, self-awareness.
Self-doubt.
Self-doubt. Yep. Now read what you wrote down, what I told you, and
well, you said, if you're not honest with yourselves, if people are not honest with themselves, why would they be honest with others or God? Moral values and principles only mean something when there's a painful or stressful to stand by them.
Yeah.
Morals, values, and principles only mean something when it's the most painful or stressful to stand by them.
Yeah, I've said that for years, that morals, principles, and values, they really only mean anything when it's terrible to stand by them. When you're going to lose a job, when someone's going to walk out of your life, when it's going to cost you money, when maybe the majority of people around you are going to think that you're weak or you're a coward or that you're wrong. Only then do the things that you count, I guess, for lack of a better word, holy, what you believe to be right and wrong. Because if you're swayed by public opinion, if you're swayed by a popularity contest, then why have those values at all?
Right.
And so subsequently, your values, the principles, the code, the honor, everybody has a line
right.
that they will not cross. I'll drink and I'll black out, but I won't do drugs. I'll beat somebody up. I'll get in a fist fight, but oh no, gun or knife. I don't want to kill them, but I'll beat them up. Well, I'll do this, but that's as far as I'll go. We all have our own limits. Remember what we talked about, that nobody can force us to do something we don't want to do?
Correct.
And if we want to do something, nobody can keep us from doing it? Well, that's like that with our morals, values, and principles, except for this. Great. It's okay if you say, I'm not in favor of abusing animals. I don't like to see animals abused. So what are you going to do when you see somebody kicking their dog? What are you going to do when you see a dog in a hot car with the windows rolled up? Are you going to say that's bad? Are you going to just say, oh, please, God, please take care of them. I hope they're okay. Or are you going to say, wait a minute, I don't like animals that are being left in hot cars. Find a rock or a hammer. Let's break a window. Let's get some air in there. Let's do something. Because this is what we're talking about. Values, principles, and morals only mean something when it costs you.
Right.
When it hurts, when it's inconvenient to stand by them. What do you stand for? Okay, now, what do you stand for when it comes to grace? What do you hold accountable for God's word? How bad do you want a relationship with the guys? And the folly, the childish way of looking at things and trying to bring grace into our lives when instead we should take our lives and ourselves towards God.
Right.
Did that work out right?
Yeah, it did. And so one of the things that we shared here about the self-doubt was that scripture in 2 Corinthians 13:5 in the Message that says, test yourselves, to make sure you are solid in the faith. Don't drift along, taking everything for granted. Give yourselves regular checkups. You need firsthand evidence, not mere hearsay, that Jesus Christ is in you. Test it out. If you fail the test, do something about it. I hope the test won't show that we have failed, but if it comes to that, we'd rather the test show our failure than yours. We're rooting for the truth to win out in you. We couldn't possibly do otherwise, okay? So you hear something like that, and it's all of what we're saying tonight is kind of coming back around into a wonderful little package, because a scripture like that is all about you having a sense of knowing and recognition about where you're at. And this is one of the things that I am personally, here we go with a testimony. I try to really be a very strong realist in my life to really see where I'm at and where I'm not at. And I'll share this. I know that 3 years ago when I prayed to be enlightened, I prayed to go further than I was. And I said it in a manner that said, Lord, it's time to strip me down and build me back up, because I knew that he would answer that prayer. And I concluded by saying, I know that I've made this too complicated. It's really very simple. And then, of course, as BJ and I started getting to know one another and talking about these things, and the more accurate things became in him, the more that accurate things became in me. And as I began to learn, this is one of the things the Lord shared with me. You just need to listen. You need to pay attention to what's being said. You need to start using these things on a regular basis. Well, folks, all of that is repent. All of that is what? It has to do with being willing to be wrong, being humble. And this is what this scripture is saying here, because if we're coddling our scriptures and using them as a means to say them so that God will do something for us, or we're proud about the many scriptures that we know, that no matter what the topic and what the subject, we can spit out three scriptures that verifies that topic. And yet, at the end of the day, you don't know where grace is. You haven't experienced grace. God seems to be a million miles away while you still struggle with all of the things of the flesh. Then we've got to ask these bigger questions and test ourselves to make sure that we're solid in the faith. And even as the scripture says, and if you fail the test, then do something about it. So notice, everything about the Bible is to propel you to a place of doing something. And BJ, that's one of the comments that we made tonight. You made, and I wrote this down. When you worship the word or scripture, you are creating a doctrine.
Right. The way doctrine is created is when scripture becomes the goal, the end result.
Right. And then the rest of that was, you're close to the Bible, but you're not using it.
Right. You're close to the Bible, you're close to the words, but you distance yourself from grace.
Do you remember what we said quite a long time ago? You might have a better recollection of how long, but I'd say probably maybe 8 months ago, the comment was this: we can preach Christ, but we don't what? We're able to preach Christ, we just don't. How do we put it? Preach Christ, but we don't use Christ.
I'm
sorry that I had that right in the tip of my tongue.
Well,
the statement that we made.
Well, grace is preached and grace is worshipped, but grace just isn't offered or taken advantage of or acknowledged.
Right. Right.
I mean, it's back to like. Well, do you talk the talk or do you walk the walk? You know, it comes back to something we haven't talked about on the show in over a year, and that is the word vicariously, living vicariously. People like to, I mean, it's true. I'm not making it up. It's neck and neck between golf and professional wrestling and car racing.
Okay.
Those are the top three spectator sports: wrestling, golf, and NASCAR.
Okay.
Okay. So a guy has a favorite professional wrestler. So he dyes his hair. He lifts weights. He wears the clothes of like the professional wrestler. And so when they people see him, they say, "You look just like that professional wrestler." Well, he likes that. Makes him feel good about himself. And he likes to watch NASCAR, likes to watch racing.
Right.
So even though he has a little Japanese import, he paints it and puts stickers and decals and numbers on it so that it looks like a race car. Because he likes to identify with racing. So as he's racing around commuter traffic, he feels like he's the professional wrestler. And so he feels this way as he drives to a golf course to play golf.
Okay.
But he goes to a miniature golf course instead. And so in his mind, he's a professional wrestler who drove the race car to the Masters tournament on the golf tour. And he's not putting through a windmill or a dragon's mouth. He's on the 18th green for $1 million check and a green coat. So he's living a fantasy. And for him, it works. But he's not a wrestler. He's not a race car driver. And he's not a golfer. Holding on to the book, having crosses in every room of the house, spending countless hours in a building or structure, in a Bible study or a prayer group, and you drowned yourself in, it's not superficial and it's not meaningless, but you drowned yourself in limiting. It only has so much benefit, and it only gets you so far.
Right.
And since that's all there is, and with no surprise, there's no results, you think that's all there is, so you perpetuate this like a snowball rolling downhill. And so you never have an opportunity to enjoy grace. You never go farther. Because, folks, what is meant by the term, "You will do greater works than me"?
Yeah.
And it means that you will live longer.
Right.
You will see more people. You will have more opportunities to have testimonies and to use grace. How can that happen if you're living a vicarious Christian existence?
Yeah. Yeah.
How's that?
No, it's real good. Real good.
You got scripture anywhere?
Well, I had this wonderful and amazing thought, and it's just as disappeared as, so I guess it wasn't necessary to give it.
What do you mean it's gone?
It's gone. I had a great thought I was going to bring in, so maybe.
You know why?
That wasn't needful. What?
Because even when you're here, you're starting to drift away.
Drift away.
Yeah, you know, one of these days, somebody will log on to their computer at 8 o'clock on a Tuesday night.
Right.
And I'll say, "Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Ranger Show." Oh, did you see her look at me?
Yeah.
"Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Ranger Show. Ranger, it's your radio show." "What's dog spelled backwards?" "What's..." and the whole show will just be little epits of God's feelings through Ranger, because dog spelled backwards. "What's dog spelled backwards?" "Ranger." Why is she looking at you and growling?
She wasn't looking at me and growling.
She
growled into the microphone.
Now she's stretching.
Yeah, she came over to say
hi. She's tired.
Yeah, she is tired.
She had a big day. I was all over the ranch, and I wanted her to get some exercise. She was running. She's a tired girl.
Well, what I was going to say before, and it came back to me, is
Ranger reminded you.
Yeah, she did. You know, it's not like, because I've seen results by taking a scripture and using the information of that scripture and working with it and seeing results. I've done that. I've seen that take place. But, folks, this isn't about, remember, everything about this show isn't about the once in a lifetime or the every now and then experience.
That's the problem.
This is about the continual and ever-increasing experience of God himself. And don't think that we're putting the word down. BJ made comment a moment ago. The word is wonderful. Your feelings about the Bible are tremendous. And to love the Bible is a wonderful thing.
But don't stop there.
Don't stop there. Let's go further, because the topic tonight discusses the fact that Jesus said, people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Now, folks, that was a warning. And when you see warnings in the scripture, and if they were warnings back in the day that Jesus lived, where things were slow to a snail's pace,
but they are 2,000
what
years.
Are they 2,000 years later, where Daniel prophesied, in the last day, knowledge shall increase and run to and fro. And if you want to know what I think the fulfillment of that is, we're looking at them right here. We've got them right before us called computers. Knowledge is just off the charts, which means people will be sucked into a lifestyle of much knowledge that puffs up but little activity.
I think it's tragic when somebody starts or ends any type of relationship in a text message, phone message, or email. I think it would be really sad if you were getting married or you were having a child and you just carpet bombed everybody with one email or one text that went out to all your contacts. You know, so what if they say congrats or they send back hearts or smiley faces or little clappy hands or little pictures of flowers?
Right.
You miss that. Oh my gosh. Or you miss the laughter or I can't hold back the tears.
Right.
And I don't use texting. You know that. I don't text. And I don't do a lot of emailing unless it has something to do with, you know, business or your show or my radio show, but we're distancing ourselves from one of the most important relationships we have. That's with our family and our friends. If the reality we know is becoming mechanical, phone calls, text messages, emails, and that's the reality we live, that just puts us farther away from grace. Because it sounds so easy. So easy and simple to just say, just disregard your world. Forget about your job. Forget about your bills. Forget about your aches and pains. Just open up your heart and mind and allow Jesus and grace and the Holy Spirit and Christ to fulfill all of your needs, and everything will just be fine. Because a lot of you right now on this Tuesday night, and right now on this Tuesday night, it's around just about, not quite, 9:30. Well, you've got news, weather, and bed. And a lot of you are listening to the show are going to bed with aches and pains. A lot of you that are going to bed are worried about what's going to happen at school and work tomorrow. A lot of you are going to bed hoping that your house will be calmer and more peaceful because there was a lot of turmoil and arguments between people living in the home. And so you're thinking, how am I supposed to turn my back when I'm drowning and all this stuff is just right in my face right now?
Right. You know, a verse that I wanted to make sure that I got out tonight, and that is about Elijah. We're over in James. Again, James is all about activity. He's all about progression. And he says over here in the 16th verse that the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. And he goes on to describe Elijah and his prayer. And he said, Elijah was a human being with a nature such as we have, with feelings, affections, and a constitution like ours. And he prayed earnestly for it not to rain, and no rain fell on the earth for 3 years, 6 months. And then he prayed again, and the heavens supplied rain, and the land produced its crops as usual. Notice the components of Elijah's prayer, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man. Notice that the earnestness and the heartfelt is Elijah being connected with his own spirit so that his prayer can make tremendous power available and he can be connected to God's Spirit. I'm going to say that again. Notice the components. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man is Elijah being connected to his own spirit, so that in doing so, he can make a connection to God's Spirit where tremendous power is available, dynamic in its working. This show tonight has 100% behind it for everybody to begin to see some things that will cause you to come on up and begin to become more effective and to begin to see more of God's grace in your life and experience God on a regular basis. Everything about what we're saying tonight should be encouraging to you and should cause you to want to say, you know, it's time for me to be real careful about the words that come out of my mouth and let my words be taught from my heart. I want to respond from my spirit. As a spiritual being, this show has been talking for now years. And we can actually say that because it's been 3 years. Yes, 3 years. 2011. 2014. We've been going now for years, folks, for 3 years, and we've been emphasizing all along this separation between your spirit and being connected to God and your flesh and being connected to the world. Well, are you having a sense of accomplishment for what we're doing tonight? I mean, when we get the text messages, it really helps us to see what's going on in the hearts of people, and we don't have that when we're doing a show like this.
It's 2.5 years. It'll be 3 years in the summer when we started.
We started in August of 2011. March 2011 is when I started the meeting. We talked that summer, and then we started August of 2011. So 12, 13, 14.
Pretty close, maybe.
Maybe close, huh?
Yeah, does seem like a lot longer.
Yeah.
All right, do you want to say something to music?
I do. Well, I'm real thankful for you to be with us for this week on the Abiding Presence radio show. And remember, the name of the show, The Abiding Presence, to be continually connected with God's presence, with the reality of God, is to want to make changes in your life so that that actually is true. And the changes tonight that we're all about is learning how to be precise and accurate with our words, and allowing the feeling and the emotion to move us in our thoughts to the actions of experiencing grace. Folks, pay attention to this week, and I pray that God would open your eyes and help you to see the grace of God in ways you haven't experienced till now. And for those of you battling certain conditions in your body, why don't you try just getting quiet and getting your mind completely blank from your physical body and let your feelings, emotions, and thoughts go toward Christ and begin to offer thanksgiving for the grace of God to cause your body to have wonderful day after day, moments after moments of health and strength. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, that was pretty good. Hey, guess what? I checked on something. I was just curious to see.
And?
I went into the Live 365, you know, the software for broadcasters.
Yes.
And right now at this moment, we're about ready to end the show on Tuesday night, the 23rd. But it's actually, this show is pre-recorded, it's actually around 8:00, Thursday, the 18th. And there are two people. Right now, as I'm saying this.
Listening?
Yeah, there's two people right now listening to the show with Bracken Christian out of Lubbock, Texas.
Oh, cool.
That's streaming.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the live show that you did from there was just 2 days ago.
Right.
And so right now at 8:00 on Thursday night, the 18th, there's two people listening. I don't know who they are or where they are.
Now,
but there's two people listening.
Because we just downloaded the show for Bracken's church where he was on, you know, while I was there.
Yeah.
They won't be able to hear that till I get home and put that up, will they? They'll be hearing the week before.
No, the show with Bracken.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's streaming, isn't it?
Yeah, the two people that are listening.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Are listening to
Got it.
To you and Bracken.
Right. The show that's streaming, and I'll get that. I'll get that up so that the archive is available here by tomorrow.
Well, you know, if you're not in a hurry, this show that we just. I wonder if I could do that. You know, I wonder if what we're doing now, if I could download that and send you home with it, too. And you could do two archives instead of one.
That'd be pretty cool.
That'd be freaky.
Yep.
Because people would say, wait a minute now. How can it be on the archives and it's not the 23rd? It
hasn't happened yet.
It hasn't happened yet. Honey, that's Grace. Come on over here. What are those two wild boys up to now? How was that? Was that pretty good?
It was good. And when they listen to hey, folks, do me a favor. Send in your comments about the beginning of this show.
Oh, what is with you? What? You just...
I want to hear all the comments.
You know what I think is happening?
What?
I think you're trying to find reasons for me not to be on the show anymore. Is that what it is?
No, I think we're going to hear some pretty fun responses.
You just want me to like just sit here and direct and produce the show and you know, show you all the emails and texts and I'll just be quiet?
I wouldn't be able to talk for 2 hours.
Why not? You talk all day long, all night long. What? You're telling me that you've never stood in front of a group and talked for 2 hours?
Of course.
What's the longest you've ever talked in front of a group? I mean, like, nonstop. No potty breaks, no breaks for drinks. Just go.
Probably 2.5.
That's a long time.
Probably 2.5.
But
that's under certain circumstances that are different from the norm. Because the norm is about an hour, hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah, because, you know, people, their eyes roll back in
their head
after about 45 minutes.
Right.
I was at a county fair, at part of a horse symposium.
Yeah.
And everybody was supposed to talk for 45 minutes. There was four of us.
Right.
Okay. Well, they had all this other stuff scheduled, right?
Yes.
I was the only person that showed to talk.
Oh.
The other three people didn't show.
Right.
So they wanted me to talk for the entire time.
Oh, gee.
And is going back quite a few years. And it was like 105 degrees in the shade. And I mean, it was not pretty. I mean, I'm sweating, everybody's sweating, you know, nobody's buying anything but ice cream,
right.
You know, snow cones and pops and things. And the horses in the arena, they're hot. I just went from one topic to another. And then I'd say, has anybody got any questions? And I'd answer the questions. And I told them, I says, folks, I says, if you want to leave. There's supposed to be three other people. They're not here. I says, I'm hoping just like you are that they're going to show up. And so I'm going to keep picking topics about horses and talking. They never showed up. And you know what?
Did the people get up and start marching out?
No, people stayed. We're not talking a big group. It was probably 800-900 people.
Wow.
Which is pretty big for, you know, in the middle of summer, hot, you know.
Sure.
And so that was, and the bleachers are pretty full. So 800-900 people is a good crowd.
Yeah.
No, they stayed. And it was really cool. At the end, they gave me a standing ovation.
And I said,
I don't know who's going to pay for it, but I'm not. But everybody gets a free soda pop on somebody. You know?
Uh-huh.
And the fair board paid for it because, well, you know, we were all getting paid, to talk. And so, they offered me all four paychecks. They said, do you want them all? And I says, no, I just want what we agreed to. Pay me
right.
Right. Pay me for my 45 minutes.
Right.
And, yeah, man, I was, that was it for me.
Worn out?
Well, yeah, I was worn out because when you're talking, you know, you don't want people to hate you.
You give a whole lot more, there's a whole lot more energy that goes into it than you think.
Public speaking is I don't want to say it's an art. Public speaking is something that sometimes you have to endure.
Yeah.
You know, and on that note, I was watching a show the other night about comics, right?
Yes.
And it's Comics Interviewing Comics. And they said how if you get heckled or people are loud or obnoxious and they interrupt your little time on stage,
right,
which is like a half hour or 45 minutes, and you walk off, you don't get paid.
Mm.
They don't pay you. In comedy rules, and if you're a comedian,
wow,
no matter how obnoxious or insulting or how bad you are,
right,
you don't get paid unless you do your
your thing,
your designated time, whatever that is.
I think that's right, because you ought to be able to work through all that stuff.
Well, I think as a comedian, you should be able to put people in their place.
Yeah,
you know, just embarrass them and humiliate them, and you know something. Boy, this has a lot to do with our topic tonight, doesn't it?
It was a good show.
What do you think? Okay, now, you know, I'm not even going to ask because I've been asking this for three recorded shows. Hey, what? Jim, are you going to be here next week? Are you going to be at the library next week?
I'm really going to be here.
You know what, folks? Don't believe him. I don't believe him.
And I'll be at the library tomorrow night, and you'll see a really good live streaming.
Okay, now, we got to be clear about this. Tomorrow night is going to be Wednesday.
24th.
The 24th.
I'll be there.
Hardesty Library.
Yes.
And what's it going to be good about?
Well, we should have worked out all the bugs with the live streaming, so it should be really good.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, what do you think? We did all right?
Yes, yes. Good topic.
Did we cover the topic right?
I think so. And sending in emails helps us, and we certainly ask that you do that. And next week, we'll be together live in the barn.
Folks, I want to thank all of those of you who text, all of those who emailed, and welcome to any new listeners. We hope that you benefited and had some fun. Hope we made them smile.
I do too.
Chuckle or two. Think anybody laughed?
Yeah, especially
at
the
beginning. We never know. We never know. It was kind of an interesting beginning,
wasn't it? It was great. A great beginning.
We want you to take care of yourself. How does she always know it's the end of the show? Ranger, it's the end of the radio show. Go, Ranger, go. Take care of yourselves, your pets. For Jim, who's not here on this Tuesday night, for the three of us, we want you to do good. And remember, dog spelled backwards is... Good girl, Ranger. Well, Ranger... Go ahead, say goodnight.
Good night, everyone.
Well, I turned your microphone off because I thought we were done.
Oh, that's okay.
All right. Now, are you done now?
I'm done. Well, she was looking at me, so I thought I'd better say goodnight.
All right. Now his microphone off. Just me and you, Ranger. All right. Good night, everybody. And by the way, thank you so much for saying hello when it's just me and Ranger in the barn. And we'll see if Jim hears next week. This is a new world record for the show, you know. Three weeks of just a dog and a horseman and horses in a barn. Take care, everybody.